Well, good morning, friendship. I hope that you have had a fantastic week. It is supposed to be a beautiful weather week this week, so we're all excited about that. I don't know about you, but usually when it's nice outside, I tend to get the idea that I should do some projects. And so yesterday I was doing some projects, and so today I'm moving a little slower today. So maybe you're along with me, so you just find a little comfortable spot and nestle down and enjoy your coffee and, you know, your ibuprofen. Today we are in part two of our seasonal series, Building a Life That Matters. For those of you that are new to Friendship here, maybe you're a guest this morning, we usually do two services. We said, you know what, this year, as we get into our new building, we thought, man, it would be great to be able to do one service for the months of January, February, and then March. And then on April 9th, we'll be going back to two services. And so we'll be enjoying that and doing that. And so when you come, just, you know, find a space. I love the fact that those of you that sit in the front row, it's just wonderful. If I spit on you, I apologize. So in this series, the first month of the year, we talked about spiritual life. We talked about connecting with God and how God desires to connect with us and the things that we need to do personally to be able to expand or widen or deepen that connection with Jesus Christ and with God. And so we talked about those things and how necessary it is. But we as a church think, you know, as God has called us, we look at what it means to be a disciple. We say, you know, we want people to be spiritually deep. Not that it's a position that you arrive in, but it's a thing that you continue to strive for, to be deep in your relationship with Jesus Christ. The part two of the series that we're currently in is to be financially stable. When we talk about financially stable, it doesn't mean that you've got, you know, all sorts of zeros in your bank account, although, you know, maybe it's just zeros in the bank account. But the idea is that, you know what, God has blessed us with so much. God has given us so many things, and the idea of being financially stable is managing the resources that He has given us in such a way that you are able to live and enjoy the purpose that God's given you in this earth. That's what it means to be financially stable. And so we're talking about that in this series. And then the next one is being relationally satisfied. Having those relationships in your life that satisfy the longing that each of us have to be in relation with other people. And some of the things that we need to do to be able to be someone that's easy to have a relationship with. Sometimes, you know, we're like porcupines, right? You're like, hug tighter, it's going to hurt more. And so, you know, we need to talk about that and how we work through those things. So this is the third in this particular part of financial life. We've talked about the first week, you've got to know what you've got. You've got to know what you've got, what's coming in. If you don't know what's coming in each week, man, that's where you have to start. You have to ask the question, what's our starting point? What do we have that comes in after taxes? Are we having too much taken out? Do we have enough to be able to do these things? And then last week, we talked about living within your means. Once you know what you've got, that should be your cap. Don't live like other people just because you want to impress them. In fact, live like God's called you to live, to be the person that God's called you to be, because if you keep spending like someone else, you'll not be who God has called you to be. And then this week, we're going to be talking about giving God your best. And then next week, we're going to be talking about planning for your future. Do you know that God has placed within the Bible investment ideas? Investment sense for each and every one of us. We'll see that next week. So be here. Don't miss that because it's really cool. There's an entire chapter in the book of Ecclesiastes that's all about how you should invest that which God has given you. Now, today we're talking about giving. Those of you that are guests today, take a deep breath, okay? Because I want to share something with you. First of all, you're going to probably hear a teaching on giving that's different than you've ever heard before if you've heard teaching on giving talked about in church. Secondly, if you're a guest with us today, I want you to be aware that the only thing that we are asking for you to place in the offering plate later is your connection card, because we depend upon the tithes and the offering of those that are regular attenders here and ministry partners of Friendship Church. But I hope that more than that, you will get a better understanding of what the Bible means when it talks about giving your best to God. Because here's what it means more than anything else. God is by His very nature a giver. You think about it. John 3:16, one of the most famous verses in the Bible. For God so loved the world that He what? Gave. For God so loved that He gave. And so God created the entire idea of being a giver, being someone that gives of yourself to other people, so much so that God has created us, because the Bible tells us in the book of Genesis that each and every one of us is created in the image of God, which means we bear the mark of who God is. There are things about God that he has implanted in each and every one of us. And then the Bible goes on to say that it is more joyful, it is more blessed, it is more exciting to give than it is to receive. And some of you are like, oh, I don't know about that. I like getting gifts. Does anyone else like getting gifts? All right, so some of you are honest. I appreciate that. Now, I will tell you something, though. Something that I have had the joy of experiencing, something that you'll hear from others about their joy of experiencing, when you get to a point where you are financially stable, managing the resources that God has given you in such a way to live and enjoy the purposes that God has placed into your life, it is something unbelievable to be able, without regret or fear, to give of yourself, of your time, or of your treasure to someone else. It's an amazing thing. And then at that point in time, that verse that says it is more joyful, it is more blessed, it is more exciting to give than receive kicks in, because you're like, oh my word, that was unbelievable. Did you see the look on their face? Did you see the joy in their hearts? And you're like, man, that was great. At that point in time, you have just tapped into the very thing that God talks about when God says, I'm a giver. I love to give to other people. The entire relationship that you have with God is predicated, it's based on the fact that God decided to give. So, here's what you're not going to hear this morning. You're not going to hear a guilt trip. Praise God. Here's what you're also not going to hear. You're not going to hear that the Bible tells you that if you give, you'll get everything you want. Not true. Here's what else you're not going to hear. If you give 10% to God, I always got to do a southern accent for some reason when I do this. But if you give to God 10%, God will give you 20% back. I guarantee it. No, the Bible doesn't say that either. So what does the Bible teach? Well, let's look at it here. First of all, Proverbs chapter 3, verses 9. And verse 10 begins this way, honor the Lord with your wealth. So you're like, wealth? I don't have wealth. Okay, wealth is just an old expression. It's just kind of a way to speak of the things that you have, the assets. By the way, and I want to be bigger, I want to be bigger picture than this. We're talking about financial life today, so we're going to talk about financial things. But when God talks about giving, he doesn't just talk about your finances. He's talking about your time. He's talking about your talents. He's talking about your abilities. He's talking about your relationships. He's talking about everything. Now, in this particular passage, he's talking about specifically financial things. So we're going to just focus on that. But when I talk about it this morning, don't just get keyholed into this idea of giving. That means just your finances, because it's way bigger than that. But he says, listen, honor the Lord with your wealth and with the first fruits. Now, first fruits, that was an agricultural society. And so the first fruits means the very first thing that you do when you go out and you harvest your crops, when you harvest your apples and oranges and pomegranates and whatever it is, the first part, the first thing that shows up, you stop and you take that and you say, God, I am so thankful. Before I do anything else, God, I want to tell you how thankful I am that you have blessed me with this, and you give it back to God. So it's a priority thing. God says, listen, my expectation of you being a giver is that the first thing you do when you receive, whatever you receive, the first thing that you do is that you respond in thankfulness for what I have given you. And that begins to change your heart on the inside. And you begin to focus on that giving. He says, okay, honor the Lord with your wealth, with the first fruits of all your crops, whatever your assets are. And he says, then your barns, I know some of you live out in Bartlesville where I am, and we have barns. Most of you have a mini barn. That's all you've got. That's not what it's talking about. It's talking about your stores, what you have, what you've been given, your bank account, whatever you can, you know. He says, listen, then your barns will be filled to overflowing, and your vats will brim over with new wine. I just got some of your attention right there. You're like, new wine? Well, Here's what he means. He says, listen, when you begin the process and you receive something, and your first response is to be thankful, and in that thankfulness you give back to me, here's what I promise to do. I will give back to you more than you even gave out to me. Now, it doesn't mean, again, remember, doesn't mean I'm going to put in 20, I'll get 40 back. No, because God's blessings are not limited to financial things. Quite frankly, I'm very thankful for that, because I know a lot of wealthy people that are absolutely miserable. It's not about the financial, it's about the blessings of God. And God says, when you honor me in this fashion, I will bless you beyond anything that you can even contain. So here's the big idea for today, because I think this is so important. We understand that God is a giver, that God wants us to be like him. The reason that God wants us to be like him is because it changes the dynamic and the relationship both with God and with others as we thank him, as we bless him. But not only that, when we give to God, God says, I want to give to you. So here it is. God, giving God your best positions you to receive his best. Giving God your best positions you to receive his best. I know enough about electricity to be dangerous. I was working on some electricity yesterday. I couldn't figure out what the socket or the what's that called? I can't remember now. The breaker. Couldn't figure out which breaker it was. So I'm like, well, I'll just see. I told you, I'm just dangerous. That's just all there is to it. And so I pull it out of the wall because I think, well, maybe I can do it without turning it off. I just need to, maybe I've got enough wire back there. And as I'm pulling it out, I'm like, I don't know. So I get the metal extender bracket. And I wrap it around, and I'm like, oh, I think I have enough. So I start to push it back. Well, of course, it made a connection. I did not get shocked, which was surprising. But it did go pop. And white flash everywhere. And guess what? I walked into the breaker room and I figured out which breaker it was because it was off. You're like, why did you tell us that? Okay, here's why. Because when the breaker is off, that socket's not positioned to receive the electricity. Does that make sense? When we are not fulfilling our nature that God has created us to be givers, we've turned the breaker off of the blessing of God in our life. And therefore, we are not positioned to receive his best. Because when we give, we position ourselves to receive his best. When we give our best, we position ourselves to receive his best. Look at this. Because I think this is just an amazing thing when you begin to realize what it means about this. Because God doesn't need anything from us, okay? Can we just be honest with that? God is not sitting up in heaven wondering whether or not when the offering plate passes around going, boy, hope there's enough today to pay heaven's mortgage. Because he doesn't need anything from us. God is not dependent upon us. We are dependent upon God. So God is not doing this because he wants something from us. God is doing this because he wants something for us. He wants us to experience what it means to be a joyful giver. He wants us to experience all the blessings that he wants us to have because we've positioned ourselves to receive those things. Again, this is not a get rich quick. This is not put this in and get. No, it has nothing to do with that. It is far bigger than that. In fact, the people that teach that, I think, are teaching an absolute shallow, dishonest teaching of the Word of God. This is not about getting rich financially. It's about getting rich in relationship with God, in relationship with others, in relationship with yourself. And so when God says, listen, I want you to be a giver, it's not because he's like, man, I need this. No, he wants you to be a giver because he wants you to receive everything that he has and he wants for you. God has set up the universe. He's literally set up the universe so that you get blessed when you follow his commands. and you live the way that he wants you to live. And in the area of giving, God has set it up. He literally has set it up so that some of his blessings are in direct proportion to your giving. Look at this. Luke, Jesus Christ is talking. He says this. Luke chapter 6, verse 38. Give, and it will be given to you. A good measure, pressed down, shaken together, and running over, it will be poured into your lap. For with the measure that you use, what's that last phrase? You see that? He literally says, in proportion to the type of giver you are, will be in proportion to the type of gifts that you receive from me. This is both an incredibly encouraging verse and a terrifying verse at the same time, isn't it? Because it is both a positive and a negative. It has both a blessing and a curse. God has said your giving, and again, don't just think financial, it's bigger than that, but your giving or lack of giving can expand or contract the level of God's blessing in your life. The nation of Israel, which was God's chosen people, and the story of God in the Old Testament is all throughout, woven into the nation of Israel. And at this particular time, in this verse we're about to read, the nation of Israel had forgotten God, essentially. They had stopped obeying God. They had stopped living for God. Most of them had stopped giving the way that God had called them to live. Almost the majority of them had stopped giving anything at all back to God. They had just rejected it. They were living how they wanted to live. They believed that they were in the right. They believed that they were not having problems. And there was an issue that was beginning to take place because the crops and the famine and all these different things began to take place in the nation of Israel. And so finally God had had enough. And so he sent a man named Malachi, who was a prophet of God. He said, Malachi, I want you to go to the nation of Israel because they have refused to listen to me. I am sending you to be my mouthpiece. And so in Malachi chapter 3, Malachi speaking to the people of Israel for God. He says, you people are robbing me, your God. And here you are asking, how are we robbing you? You are robbing me of the offerings and of the 10% that belongs to me. That's why your whole nation is under a curse. You see, this process of withholding also means we are withheld from. It says your entire nation has been under a curse because you've refused to be like I am. Therefore, I withhold, and I don't only withhold, but I actually allow curse to come in. I am the Lord all-powerful, and I challenge you to put me to the test. Bring the entire 10% into the storehouse so there will be food in my house. Then I will open the windows of heaven and flood you with blessing after blessing. I will stop locusts from destroying your crops and eating your vineyards from producing. God says, listen, here's the thing. You've rejected what I've called you to be and how I've called you to live. And because of that, not only did the blessing stop, but the cursing began. So here's what I want you to do, and I'm begging you to do this. And the reason that I'm begging you to do this is because I want this for you. I want to do these things, but I have set it up. If you don't do them, you don't receive them. It's an either-or equation. It's simple, simple, simple. So please, it is as if God is begging, please, try it. Put me to the test and see if I am not faithful to you. I want to give a word of caution before we continue this morning because I think it's really necessary. Giving financially, even tithing, which is 10% of your income, is not a magic bullet. You cannot expect God's blessing to fall on your life, and even in the area of finances, if you go, well, I'm just going to give 10%. We'll just see what happens. I'll just give 10%. This is great. This is great. This is great. And you ignore all the other biblical principles of finance because that is, let's be honest, that's how it's usually taught, right? If you give 10%, then everything's going to be great. No. No. Because God has talked about how to handle finances. Week one, know what you've got. If you go, I'm going to give 10%, how are you going to do that unless you know what you've got? Well, I'm going to guess. That's probably not going to work out well for you. You go, well, I'm going to give 10%. How are you going to do that if you don't live within your means? credit card. Yeah, that'll work well. I'm going to give 10%, but I'm not going to plan for my future, what we talked about next week. No, you see, all of these things work in tandem and together. God just doesn't talk about 10% of what you have. He talks about 100%. And here is the amazing truth. When you 100% commit to the things that God has given and talked about in His Word, God can do more with the 90% that's left than you can do with 100% all by your lonesome. Because God's blessing begins to flow into your life. And if you want to understand more of those things, please, 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 I beg you, sign up, register for Take Financial Peace University, because it'll go into detail and it will literally, if you don't understand these things, if you've never done these things, it will literally transform your life. It is not just a financial class. You can go down to, I don't know, some place that does financial stuff and do that. This is about literally leveraging your relationship with God and bringing God into probably the last holdout of your life, which is your finances. And when you allow God to be the one that oversees, manages, and directs your finances, can you ask for a better financial guide than that? You can't. So I encourage you, I challenge you to do that. Now, I want to just kind of close this morning out with three reasons why we don't give God our best. Because I want to be genuine, honest, connect with you right where you are. Because the vast majority of people that love God don't give the way that God has prescribed. We just don't. Which means we're missing out on a huge part of the blessing that God has for each and every one of us, because God wants something for us, not from us. When we give God our best, we are positioned to receive His best. That is the way that God has set it up to work. So what are the three reasons? Well, reason number one is we believe it's ours. We believe it's ours. And so you're like, that's right. Is mine. I worked for it. I put it in the bank. I saved it. Some of you are even married, and to your spouse you say, that's mine. We have separate bank accounts because I spend my money and he spends his money. Can I just say that's probably a bad idea? If you're not sure why, take Financial Peace University. Okay, so we think it's ours. Do you realize you get up in the morning because God did not cut your electricity the night before? You wake up in the morning because God allowed you to breathe the entire night, even though you have sleep apnea and you kept your spouse up all night long. You were able to get your butt out of bed this morning because the work that you did yesterday, God blessed you with the ability to heal quickly. You were able to go to work because God's given you the strength to be able to do it. You were able to do the things at work because God's given you the mind to understand it. You were able to continue working because God has not crashed everything and made the job that you're at fall apart. See, everything that we have started when God decided to love us. That's how it all started. And so whether you are a Christian or a non-Christian, whether you believe God exists or you think He's a hoax, it doesn't matter, because the Bible says that God blesses the entire world with His love. And that's why you can work. And that's why you can earn income. And that's why you can save it. And that's why you can live in a home. And that's why you can do all of those things, because God gave it to you first. Psalm 24, 1 and 2, the earth is the Lord's and everything in it. He has just allowed you to have it for a little while. The world and all of its people belong to Him. For He laid the earth's foundations on the seas, and He built it on the ocean's depths. If you have a PC, and you're working on your computer, and something happens, and out of the blue, Bill Gates walks in. Hey, how are you? Having a problem on your computer there? Bill, I got it. you're an idiot. You're like, the creator of this thing is standing right here. He's telling me what to do to make it work appropriately, and I'm like, no, I think I got it figured out. That's what we do with God all the time. When we ignore his plan for finances and how to handle them and what to do with them. And we're like, God, we got it. And he's like, I created that, dummy. Do it this way and it will work. Number two, not only do we believe that we own it all, but we're afraid of running short. Let's be honest, this is a real fear, isn't it? Especially if you are like the 60% of Americans who literally struggle every month just to be able to pay your bills. You're like, are you kidding? Give to God? Let me tell you something. If you right now feel constrained, like you cannot give back to God, then more than likely it's because of one of the other areas in God's financial plan that you're not doing, like knowing what you've got or living within your means or planning for your future. Because when you do all those things together, you have the ability to be able to give back to God. But even on top of that, do you know that God says, and we've read it multiple times already in the verses that we've read, when you place him as priority in your life and you handle your finances in the way that he has called you to handle them, that he literally takes it then upon himself to say, now, I will take care of the rest. Look at this, Philippians chapter 4, verse 19. And my God will meet all your needs. Now, does it say all your financial needs? No, it just says all your needs. All of them. I have a relational need. God will meet it. Well, I have a physical need. God will meet the ability for you to be able to deal with whatever it is that you're dealing with. I have a spiritual need. God will step in. My God will meet all of your needs. And then look at this. You go, well, I don't know. I got a lot of needs. I'm a needy person. Some people call me clingy. Look at what it says. How does he resource it? Out of his riches. God creates and has created all that we know, all the wealth of the world. It's all his. God says, literally, put it this way, I will meet all of your needs outside and out through my limitless resources. I will meet all your needs. Number three reason we think we're safe. We think it's ours. We believe it's ours. We're afraid of running short. And third reason we don't give God our best is because we think we're safe. We're like, oh, man, okay, it's all good. I've got it all planned out. I've got it all laid out. I've got my retirement set. I've got my kids' 529 set. I've got my savings set. I'm even saving for vacation. I'm saving for a car. This is great. This is wonderful. This is fantastic. It's all in the stock market. I am good to go. You know how many people have said that over the years? Only a few years later to be like, what was I doing putting it in all the stock market? Because there's a really profound financial principle that God gives all throughout the pages of the Word of God. There is nothing that is stable in our world that you can count on outside of God. Because everything else is dependent upon the people around you. The markets, your relationships, your family, all the things are based upon how the human beings around you handle what God has given them. And you're like, I look at myself and I feel pretty good. I look at them and I am scared to death because I see what's going on. You see, that's why we have to realize everything's uncertain. The only guarantee in this life is God. And look at this, 1 Timothy 6:17. Tell people who are rich, and by the way, if you don't think that you're rich, get online somewhere and look up the wealthiest nations in the world. Look up what the average income in the world is. Look up what the average house size, the average car. Look it up because you will determine and you will realize that you are one of the wealthiest people in the world. Because the vast majority of our world has nothing compared to what we have. So Paul says, listen, tell those who are rich not to become egotistical and not to place their hope in finances, which are uncertain. Instead, they need to hope in God, who richly provides everything for our enjoyment. I love this verse. Because see, when we talk about giving, people start to think, God just makes me. Listen, everything that you have, God gave so that you could enjoy it. God doesn't want you to walk through life miserable. The gifts that he's given you, the abilities that he's given you, the people that he's given you, he has given you those things so that you can enjoy them. And now here's the thing. One of two things is in reality. If you are not enjoying life, it's either because you are outside the will of God or you are not doing the things that God's called you to do. Circumstances, and oh, by the way, other people cannot make you not enjoy life. You're like, well, you have not met, doesn't matter. Because your joy comes from God. It cannot be taken by anyone else. And so God says, listen, this is what I want for you. This is my prayer for you. This is how I want you to live this life and enjoy all of these things. But you have to learn how to be a giver. You have to. God in his word talks about giving in four specific ways financially. He first talks about regular giving. In other words, as often as you are given to, as often as you receive, then you give. So if you're a once a month pay, you're like, okay, I want to be a regular giver. Maybe you're like, I can't get to this whole tithing thing. Totally get it. So my challenge to you today would be to take the next step. You look, I just, every once in a while, whenever I have it. So you know what? Next paycheck, and from this next paycheck, from now on, be like, all right, I'm going to give $5. Like, I don't have $5. Don't get a latte. You have $5. Well, I don't get lattes. Don't get a Diet Coke. You get $5. And put it in. And be able to do that regularly. Begin to receive some of the blessings that God has for you. You go, well, I already do that. All right, the next step is be proportional. Pick a percentage, whatever it is, and say, God, whatever this is at this point in time, I'm going to be doing that. That's the next step. God says he wants us to be regular, and he wants us to be proportional. We take a percentage, whatever that is. Then God says, listen, the percentage that I ultimately want you to get to is a tenth. That's the percentage that God has. And then you know that that's not where God stops. God says, now the final phase is I want you to be a generous and hilarious giver. Well, you're like, this is awesome. This is great. Because if we just stop at that point, now we become legalistic. Instead of allowing God to move into our heart to give what he's put on our heart to give. And here's the thing. My challenge to you would be this, because God has said, and God has laid it out very, very clearly, that he wants you to test him in this. He wants you to try it. So my challenge to you is that you would, for the next 3 months, do this consistently and see what happens. Just do it for the next 3 months. You go, okay, I want to be a regular. Okay, good. You say, I'm already a regular. I want to be proportional. Great. You say, I'm already proportional. I want to be a tither, a tenth of what I have. You know what? We've got something we call the first and 10 challenge. I encourage you to do that. It's on your worship guide. It's also online. Experience friendship/give, I think is what it is. And we'll send you some things. We'll give you some information to be help you do that. You know what? I'm ready to take the next step. I want to be a generous and hilarious giver. This is going to be awesome. Do it for 3 months. See what God happens. Now, I know some of you are thinking, well, see, I knew it. The church needs it. You ready for this? If that's in your heart, if you're like, I really think that the reason that we're talking about this is because the church needs money. Listen carefully. If you say, I'm going to take this challenge, but I think that maybe their motivation is this, then here's what I would challenge you to do. For the next 3 months, write your check online, drop off, mail it, whatever it is, to another good Bible-believing church in our community. You're like, did you just? Yes, I did. And here's why. Because giving to God is not solely about just the church that you're at. And if you're like, I think I'm doing this because I feel guilty. No, wrong reason. Don't do it. If you instead want to receive the ultimate blessing that God has for you and you have that question and you're not sure about that, then listen, give it to Laugh Out Loud, church next to us here, Light of Light Lutheran. Give it to the South Coast, to Mount Pleasant Christian Church, or on the way, Village Bible Church, whatever. Seriously. And after 3 months, if you're like, oh my goodness, I can't believe that all that God's done, then bring it home. Start giving back to friendship then. Because then you'll know. It's not about where. It's about the attitude and the heart. Because just like God doesn't want something from you, He wants something for you. That's the reason I'm telling you this morning. It's not because we're in desperate times and we're like, oh my goodness, what? No. We want God's richest blessing for your life. And God has clearly said that if you give Him your best, it positions you to receive His best. Father God, we thank You so much. We are blessed beyond measure to be able to receive Your blessings. And God, this morning, as we've just taken some time to see what Your word says, God, even though I did all this work ahead of time, even as I'm teaching this, I am overwhelmed. God, these aren't even all the passages of Scripture that You talk about this. But God, Your blessing and Your promise after promise after promise after promise. God, I pray that we embrace that. Don't allow us to be construed or tricked or tweaked or anything like that by the things that don't teach Your word. God, let us be focused on what the truth of the word is. And the bottom line is, You have promised that if we give You our best, that You place us in a position to receive Your best. And God, if even what we see today is a portion of what Your best is, I'm overwhelmed. I am overwhelmed. Because God, the truth of Your word says that as we do this, You will open up heaven's floodgates and bless us in every area of our life to the point where we almost go, I don't know that I can stand it anymore, God. It is overflowing. We thank You for that. And God, we open up our arms. We release it all to You. And God, we look forward to receiving whatever Your best is for our life. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.